WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Brittany Griner is expected to be back on U.S. soil tonight or early tomorrow after she was exchanged for a Russian prisoner being held by the U.S. Face the Nation's Margaret Brennan.
Russian state media showed video of the swap on the tarmac at Al Bateen Airport in Abu Dhabi. Griner and convicted arms dealer Victor Boot walked towards one another and then headed to separate planes home.
While most people are probably glad Griner is now free, some say the U.S. gave up too much to get her back, correspondent Jeff Pagaz.
Rob Zaharias-Shevitz, who was on the DEA team that tracked Boot down, says that today's prisoner swap puts other Americans in danger.
Why was it a bad deal for the U.S., in your opinion?
I think that we just encouraged false detentions and hostage-taking all over the world.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. The deal to bring Brittany Griner home leaves behind retired Marine Paul Whelan, who was convicted in Russia of espionage charges the U.S. calls false.
This was not a choice of which American to bring home.
The president insists the Russians view Whelan's case differently from Griner's and refused to allow his release. His family says the administration provided a heads up that the one-for-one swap would not include Paul, which they called a public disappointment and a catastrophe for him. But the president vows,
we'll keep negotiating in good faith for Paul's release. I guarantee that.
The House has overwhelmingly approved the Respect for Marriage Act, with nearly 40 Republicans joining Democrats in voting yes.
The Respect for Marriage Act takes key steps to uphold marriage equality under federal law.
Speaker Pelosi said it was important to take action while Democrats still control both houses of Congress and since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Police say the man accused of killing a seven-year-old girl last week in Texas has told them why he did it. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The 31-year-old FedEx driver accused of abducting and killing a seven-year-old girl in North Texas last week told police that he strangled her after accidentally hitting her with his van while making a delivery at her home. That's according to an arrest warrant. Tanner Lynn Horner told investigators Athena Strand was not seriously hurt, but he panicked and put her in his van where she was killed.
NASA's Artemis 1 moon mission is headed toward a Sunday splashdown in the Pacific, but first, the Orion spacecraft has to survive a 25,000-mile-per-hour, 5,000-degree reentry. Mission manager Mike Serafin.
On entry day, we will realize our priority one objective, which is to demonstrate the vehicle at lunar reentry conditions, as well as our priority three objective, which is to retrieve the spacecraft.
A safe reentry will help certify the Orion spacecraft safe for humans. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best.
What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight with the lows around 23. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 33. Overcast skies, tomorrow night, chance for snow, lows dip down to about 26. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 26.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Gotta tell you, I'm thrilled Tuesday is over. And even more thrilled, Reverend Warnock is the senator from Georgia. Big round of applause there for the folks in Georgia. Now, the interesting part, and I come back to though the phrase I heard a lot from people who were supporting Warnock, supporting Walker, was he's a good one. He's going to do what he was told. I heard that a lot, and as I said, lots to unpack there. But some good news. Good news. The Justice Department evidently is looking at holding Trump accountable. Maybe it can hold him in contempt over the classified document subpoena he was supposed to comply with that hasn't. There's, again, a lot there as well, considering just yesterday we talked about there's a storage locker. Did you know there's a storage locker? It's got suits and swords and wrestling belts and, my favorite part of it, all sorts of things. And that makes my mind go into very bizarre places. And here to share some thoughts and maybe where some of those places will take us, I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
My money's on blow-up dolls.
great minds think alike, because I started thinking in those places as well. You know, maybe that's where the P-tape's at.
The sad thing is they're probably all blow-up dolls that look exactly like himself. Right? Can't you see that?
The sad thing is now you have put this in my head. I'm not going to see nightmares are made out of this.
He's just so narcissistic, right?
Yeah,
he'd just be like, oh, man, I don't need a blonde girl. Like, I need a good
orange guy.
Oh, Lord.
Thanks. Yeah. Good night, everybody. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
I'm just glad that they actually found him. I wonder, how did they get there? You know?
Yeah.
Did he put them there after he didn't turn him over to the FBI the first time, the second time, or the third time? Was he hiding them? Was it intentional? Or was it just like, okay, I have all of my blow-up dolls from the White House I need to be able to bring back to the storage locker? I was going to say the storage locker, don't you know, like the dudes who were opening that thing, it was like they were going to hurt locker it. Like, you'd be really nervous. What could possibly be in there? Yeah. That, you know, maybe you're not going to get blown up, but your mind could be destroyed by what you see.
Yeah, that could be. Now, the reporting is, to be fair, no one believes Trump was actually at that storage locker. It was just his stuff.
Yeah.
The question is who told who to take what where and all that. Again, lots to unpack as we find all sorts of other things in these boxes, along with the swords, the suits, and the wrestling belts, which, you know, presidents get a lot of gifts. And, I get that. But also in the mix of the swords, suits, and wrestling belts and all other sorts of other things were evidently some more documents.
Yeah, and I guess no, I don't know, the Super Bowl rings or, you know, like I'm trying to think, like, what else could he have jacked from somebody?
Stole their watch, you know, while they were shaking hands.
Right, like how many Rolexes? Does he have like a jacket where he's built in the trench coat where he can hold it out and show you all the Rolexes? Because I think that's what's going to happen after.
Yeah, especially now this week. I mean, the reality is the Trump Organization found guilty on all 17 counts of tax fraud and falsifying business records. Now, it doesn't touch him yet, but you've got Michael Cohen saying, well, he should be very uncomfortable.
And I would say, too, the fact that Alvin Bragg, the district attorney for Manhattan, finally said, oh, hey, maybe I am going to go and look into what the connections were between Donald Trump and the business. I think, too, the interesting thing that Cohen told me that I didn't listen to the whole trial. And so he was like, you know, the big thing is that Weisselberg lied. And there was a plea agreement with him where he had to tell the truth in that trial or he was going to go to prison for significantly longer. So I'm curious if the, you know, judge was paying attention there. Because basically Weisselberg said, no, this was, you know, just my operation. Yeah. I did this. And that was their big case.
Fell right? on the sword. It,
yeah. And but then you found out that it was systematic. It was through the entire company, all of the vice presidents and really anybody that Trump decided he wanted to help out. And so did that mean that Weisselberg lied on the stand? Does that mean he's going to get more time than just his, you know, half a year or whatever?
Let us hope. No, because you know, for me, you know, when, and again, like you, I didn't listen to every moment of it, but, you know, the idea that, you know, there was a systemic plan to rip off the federal government and not pay taxes.
Yeah.
You know, all of this con seemed to be, well, right in line with what I would assume, you know, came from the top. I mean, this is, you know, this is just Trump being smart. If you remember, you know, during the debates with Hillary, you know, she accused him of not paying his taxes. He goes, it's because I'm smart. I've got a whole team of, well, cheats.
Yeah, people who are intentionally trying to dodge any kind of laws or rules about something that could lose me money.
Yeah, now look, you know, the reality in this is, you know, this isn't just a Donald Trump thing. This is a rich person thing. And, you know, part of me, you know, it's the same reason I wanted to see Mitt Romney's tax returns. Same reason I want to see Trump's tax returns. I want to see how rich people are dodging paying taxes and getting away from funding our roads, our bridges, our military, our healthcare system, all this stuff, how they're enriching themselves at the expense of the rest of us.
And that's been one of the things that I think folks are talking about. And even Trump has mentioned this. He's like, this happens in businesses all the time. Yep. Everybody's getting these like fringe benefits. And it's like, yeah, no, that's actually true. The difference is that because he was the president, there is a greater microscope on him than other businesses. So, you know, he kind of screwed the pooch on that. You know, he got himself there. And,
no, and this is what I was saying back in 2015. I don't know why this guy's, you know, wanting all of this attention, wanting all of this spotlight, because he's a shady character. You know, the reporting, you know, about him for years is that he's been a shady businessman, bankruptcies and cheating people, and all kinds of stuff. And you go, why would you want the hot lights of the spotlight to look into that? Because you know eventually they were going to get there.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was that he never thought he was going to win. You know, this was all some big marketing ploy, and he didn't think he was really going to be in it for that long. It didn't think, you know, it would turn out the way that it did. And it just turns out, you know, when you hire somebody like Steve Bannon or Corey Lewandowski who speak right-wing nutter, then you bring the right-wing nutters together and they're going to get you elected in some of those early right-wing nutter states.
Yeah, I just didn't realize the rest of the country would be right-wing nutter with him. You listen to the
Rick Smith
Show.
It's more the primary. I mean, it's the primary Republican, right? Like, that is the big thing about why they can't have any kind of moderation in the Republican Party, because their primary voters are completely insane. Normal, middle-of-the-road people are like, I got stuff to do today. And everybody else is like, I got to get out there because my QAnon people told me to.
Is that how they said that?
Well, that's how my aunt sounds, so...
You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, if you want to check out the work that she does. We'll get links out on social media so you can check that out. Now, some interesting news. Evidently, the January 6th committee going to put out their report. We're going to get the final report. And thank goodness it's going to be on December 21st. I think, you know, waiting till Christmas Eve would have been a better choice than the 21st. But it's going to come out and there may be referrals.
Yeah, they've said that there could likely be referrals. At least one is what they've said. And we've talked to a couple of the members about it, and you get a different answer because some of them are a little bit more cagey than the others, right? Like Zoe Lofgren will never tell you anything. Schiff was like, well, yeah, I think we should put Trump on the referral list. Like, he just goes there, right? He'll tell you how it is. And so, you know, there are a set of the lawyers that are on that committee that are fighting for talking about Donald Trump being somebody that they name to send it to the DOJ. I mean, they could hold him in contempt if they wanted to. They could hold that vote before they leave. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So, but I've also heard, you know, Mark Meadows' name. Trump's chief of staff, his name thrown around. Eastman, the guy who wrote the famous memo. Then, you know, of course, Rudy. He's on that list because he's on every list.
He's on every list.
And Jeffrey Clark. And if you got Jeffrey Clark on this list, shouldn't Scott Perry's name be somewhere there? I mean, this is where it starts then branching out, where if you got Clark in there, you got to have Perry with him as well.
That is a good question, because there are a lot of people who were just as involved as people like Clark, and they were just involved in a different, I guess, a different department. And, you know, there were a couple of members of Congress, right? Like it's Gosar and Marge, and, you know, all of those folks were just as involved. Biggs was involved, Matt Gaetz. So,
and what about Jared? What about Ivanka? What about the fake electors? I mean, if you're going to open the door can open wide.
Yeah, if you're just dipping your toe in people, you know, that lower tier, that's a lot of people that you could be looping in there that they're not.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a wide stance. Like, you remember Larry Craig?
Larry Craig in the Minnesota airport.
I don't know.
I took a picture outside that bathroom. True story. When I was in the airport, I was like, oh, selfie.
You like were in the men's bathroom?
No, outside the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess I could have gone in there and taken a picture of my feet doing a wide stance or something.
There you go. The Larry Craig Memorial Bathroom. There you go. No, but, you know, but as I'm, and this kind of threw us off, but, you know, if I'm looking at this, I'm going, maybe we start talking about the wider berth there. Let's use a different word than stats. A wider net. Let's go with that.
But, and again, like, we've talked about the DOJ investigation and how they have slowly climbed up the ladder to the sedition people. I think we talked about this last week with the Oath Keepers, you know, getting the guilty verdict. Will the Proud Boys, will that incentivize them to, you know, sing about the people who they were talking to in the White House? And I don't know, if they could do that, then we're really talking about a much lighter stance.
This is why I said there had to be harsher sentences at the beginning to move this along. Because, you know, you brought up the January 6th criminals. In fact, you know, this week there was Tuesday, there was the awards ceremony where, you know, and good on Brian Sicknick's family for refusing to shake hands with McConnell and that clan. Good on them. But, you know, it's interesting that none of the Republicans answered the question about why is Trump out there raising money for these January 6th people? Why is he out there raising money for criminals?
Yeah, and just right before, right? Like, not even a week before. Like, it was a couple days before Trump put out a fundraising plea for all of the January 6th people. And so much for backing the blue, right? And there were some, it was interesting, the Republicans we talked to were mostly senators. And, you know, asking them, you know, why are you here? It is that narrative of, you know, well, we support those guys. They worked really, really hard. They protected us. I was there on that day. And it's like, but you're just now kind of standing up for them, and it's only with a medal. Like, where's the rest of the support?
Yeah.
Where's the rest of the year that you've been, you know, that these guys have been just dangling out there and been attacked and mocked and all of the above on online?
No, what's crazy is, you know, I'm on all of the right-wing email lists. Mm-hmm. I do this so that my listeners don't have to. I get the red state and the, you know, all you name the, I'm not going to advertise them, but you get all the crazy people who are now, you know, again, we predicted this a while ago that these people would be then viewed as heroes. And it's what they're doing. I mean, Trump's raising money for them. You know, they're mm-hmm. incarcerated unjustly. I do find it interesting when the people who used to complain that prison wasn't harsh enough, that jails uh-huh. weren't hard enough on those criminals, that they're now whining and complaining that it isn't the Club Med they thought it was.
And what's hilarious is, I want to say it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they did a huge expose on the Washington, D.C. jail, because the D.C. jail is just wretched.
Yep.
It's not just that prison is a bad experience. It's really bad condition. It's old. It needs a lot of updating. It's really just generally terrible. And so all these Republicans are talking about the next, you know, the new session of Congress where they take over and they want to do this hearing on, you know, why it's so bad for all of the January 6th guys. And it's like, no, it's not just them. It's really the whole place.
It's all of them.
I mean, they're not treated, you know, any worse or better. It's just that this is a really terrible place.
And, you know, in a functional system, those criminals would get out of jail and they would go, you know, jail was really bad. We should reform that so the next time we go, it isn't as bad.
Call me crazy. Right? Isn't this what rehabilitation was about?
Yeah.
But, you know, Republicans have always been about just lock them up. So
I've known people who've gone to jail and they've gone in with one frame of mind. And they come out. It's an eye-opening experience. Never mind. I'm not going there. just not going there. But speaking of jail, Brittany Griner, evidently yes. on the way home, right wing losing their mind again. And, mm-hmm. and you know, this is one of those things where you go, can't be happy for, just got to go right to the anger, and Joe Biden screwed this up. And I'm curious your thoughts.
I mean, they wouldn't have liked it if it was the best deal in the world. You know, it sucks that Paul Whelan is not coming home as well. But it's not surprising, right? Like they were not going to trade two people for one person, even though, you know, the Merchant of Death is like this major arms dealer or whatever. Realistically, he's been here in the United States in custody for 15 years.
Right.
I've heard some people talk about maybe, you know, they wanted him because he knows all of the arms that he sold. And so they want to find those arms because now the military actually needs them. And it's like, yeah, but those are 15-year-old weapons,
yeah.
right? Like, how is that going to help them that much? They could get something much newer from North Korea.
Exactly.
Which I think is where he's going. But
or they need somebody to go out there and buy some new ones.
Yeah, right? Seriously. But Brittany Griner, like, they're about to send her to a penal colony. They don't, they don't like brown people, right? They don't really treat women all that great in Russia.
They really don't like gay people.
They really don't like gay people. They really don't like Americans. All of those things, and putting her in, in that situation, things are going to get bad fast. At the very least, you know, the thing about Paul Whelan that kills me that all these conservatives are so pissed about, and you're like, why didn't Trump do anything?
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, he ended up in there in 2018, was it? I think. And so Trump had 2 years. He could have done something.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah.
If only.
But I'm
glad she's coming home.
But my email box was just full. And you know, look, this bomber, this terrorist, this, you know, the Merchant of Death, the sanctions buster, that guy. I guess he only had like 2 more years left on his sentence anyway. So when you start going, you know, because I've had people, it was just a good idea. I'm going, it was what we had.
Yeah, it's really all that we had. I think we've traded a lot of people. I think we sent them back Maria Bettina and, you know, people like that already. But yeah, there's. I'm excited about her. The thing I think that hacks me off more than anything is that it never should have happened to begin with, because
she should have never gone to Russia.
No, she shouldn't have had to go to Russia, right? Like, the reason she went there is because she needed to make extra money because the women in the WNBA aren't making as much as the men do.
Yeah, no, I get
and so
that.
it frustrates me. It's like the women's soccer team. The women were winning constantly, and you know, and the men weren't, and yet they were dumping all this money into the men, and the women were like, "What the hell?" So yeah, I just don't. Why?
Here's where I'm going to be a little weird on this, because I think Bill Burr is actually right in this one. I think I'm going with Bill Burr. When was the last time you were to a WNBA game? I've actually never gone to one.
See, I love women's basketball, but that's because I'm tall and I know women's basketball players. But I'm a basketball nerd. So, and my best friend was a trainer for the Maryland women's basketball. So it's like a thing. But I would watch it if it was on TV. I absolutely would watch it more.
Because I
know,
think
which is strange.
I've watched it
sometimes.
Well,
depends on what kind of package you have.
When my
daughter, it's not on a normal ESPN package.
Okay. Now, when my daughters were playing basketball, I made it a point that we have to watch this because I wanted them to see women playing the game and playing it well at a high level and all that stuff. In fact, we used to go to the NCAA tournaments every year, which was part of one of our things that we would do. But the money just isn't there. Look, I mean, I wish it were. I wish there were some equality there, but I'm going to go with Bill Burr on this. But still, I don't think she should go to Russia. The answer for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. It is. No one should be there. I mean, especially Paul Whelan was there for oil and gas related issues. And it's like, why? Why did you go?
Yeah. Now, but the weird thing is, I look at, I was reading about him again today, and he holds citizenship in four countries.
Yeah.
Which
I think is why they think he's a spy.
Yeah. I go, you're kind of setting yourself up there a little bit. I'm not blaming the victim here, but
right. It
seems very. Especially as we seem to be heading back towards this kind of Cold War era. Uh-huh. We're going to start swapping people in foreign in other countries. And yeah, very, very strange. Finally, I want to get your thoughts on Tuesday.
Yay! Oh, my God. I'm so glad. I was making jokes that, the lights went out in Georgia, but it was all because of Walker's brain cells. Really, it's just the lights that went out in the Georgia Republican Senate candidate's head. Such a good night.
Are you enjoying the kind of justifications on why he lost? Like,
yes!
I am. If they're trying to make it about everything other than he was just a horrible candidate. I'm sorry. When there's a TV ad out there with your ex-wife going, the first time he held a gun to my head, that was, I don't know, in political life, that used to be an end of a campaign. You used to lose those.
Attempted murderers usually don't get elected to office, but I don't know. This is a new era of politics. What was interesting when we talked to some Republicans on the Hill about this, mostly senators, is they kind of hemmed and hawed around the idea of, it being bad candidate or candidate quality, or he could have been a little bit better. But my favorite one was the Wyoming senator who told me, who she was kind of rattling on about policies, and we're like, you don't think that, the policies were bad or anything like that. And she's like, oh no, Republican. Look at the Democrats, and
she's
like named off all of these problems, It's like you have no solutions.
Yeah,
that's
your
problem.
See, but I had that solved. A lot of the people who when I would ask, why are you supporting Walker? I can't tell you how many times I got, he's a good one. He's going to do what he's told. And
yeah,
that was
so gross. That's so gross.
But, he was going to do all of the things that Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham.
Burger stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in.
Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
We all know to dial 911 to reach law enforcement and protective services. And now community information and referral can be reached with an easy-to-remember three-digit telephone number. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Who provides respite services in the community? They know. Where can you find your child a tutor or mentor? They know. Find the answers to these questions and more by dialing 211, the place to get connected and to get answers. Dial 211.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight with the lows around 23. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 33. Overcast skies tomorrow night, chance for snow, lows dip down to about 26. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 26.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Employing minors, PSSI agreeing to fire underage workers and sanction any managers who were involved in hiring them. The meat processing companies who own the plants where the workers were identified say they're monitoring the investigation and will consider taking action against PSSI if necessary. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
This is Jim Hightower saying, if billionaire humanoids like Elon really wanted to save us from extinction, they would do the honorable thing by going first.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Yeah, I got to tell you, coming back from Georgia, again, the Walker campaign. It's a mess. And I love, again, some of the stuff that's coming out now. Staffers now speaking out. In fact, one of the things going around on Twitter now is evidently the staff tried to reach out to Walker's son, this Christian Walker, and ask about, you know, would you be open to talking to him about some messaging stuff? This is what it says, you know, because they thought he would listen to the kid instead of them. Evidently he said, you know, hey, could you help us? And he replied back, what do you mean by messaging? And the response was, stop being a moron on TV. Read your playbook before opening your mouth. We're just desperate. Yeah, I mean, if your campaign is begging the grandstanding kid to help you with messaging, you got problems. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on Tuesday's outcome and, well, the top stories of the day. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney, to come share some thoughts. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you think of that? You know, if you ever had a campaign where you had to go to a kid to go, hey, can you get your father to shut up?
Oh, yeah. Well, to spouses and relatives and cousins, sure. Plenty of times to tell them, okay, stop it, that's enough.
No, to have the kid go to the candidate and say, stop it.
Oh, I've seen that, too.
Oh, really?
By the way, on the Walker situation, I don't know if you've watched all the YouTube that his son made, you know, but the son was very in pain, very sincere. I saw this early on in the campaign, and the message that came out of that was crystal clear. At some point in time, the son, I think he's about 21, the one son, he and his mother must have met with Walker because he said, we talked to my father. And we told him, just come clean, we'll be supportive of you. He could have come clean on everything. They would have supported him, and he didn't. And the son said that was the plan, and he had met with him. And I believe him. He was very believable on it. He was in emotional pain over, you know, he hit both sides. He said, media, don't use me, you know, but also he went after his dad. And I thought at the time, how emotionally and personally, you know, dumb was this for him not to have taken, Walker, to not take the opportunity to reunite with his estranged son and his mother.
Yeah, and also to use that, I mean, clearly to use it as a political stepping stone to go, you know what, hey, I've been forgiven by them, you
right.
should forgive me too.
Here
I mean, there's so many avenues instead of, no, didn't do that.
America's a, you know, pretty forgiving country. It's a second chance, you know, type of culture. If you come out like he could have, and obviously, again, they did meet. So this was discussed way before he decided to run from his home in Texas. Whoops, I mean, Georgia, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Texas.
That was the other last. By the way, Senator Warnock doubled the votes, I think, 37,000 the first runoff, and then up to 97,000 this time.
Yeah, look, I can't believe it was even that close, to be honest, Bob. I mean, seriously, the guy, you know, had no platform to run on other than, and again, I've said this a couple of times already today, the response that I heard most often from people when I would say, well, why are you voting for Walker? And it was he's a good one. He'll do what he's told. He'll do what he's told. They didn't say boy, but they said he's a good one. He'll do what he's told.
And I think that, you know, part of it was the push of hold your nose if you want, you know, a Republican in there. And at one time, let's face it, this was the takeover of the Senate seat. Although this is the first time since 1934, I believe, that a president has been able to not lose one seat in the Senate. FDR was the last one.
Right. No, I mean, look, he was really a bad candidate. I mean, at the end of the day,
you think?
He's a bad candidate. I mean, the attorney, the lieutenant governor is like, he's probably the worst candidate ever. So I'm going to ask you that question. You know, in looking at this from the outside, not the worst candidate ever, not the worst candidate. Where do you put him? I mean, here in Pennsylvania, we had Scott Wagner, who who ran for governor here, and he had that moment that, and I gotta find it and actually play it, because it's one of those things that just I can't believe that this guy actually said this. So here's Scott Wagner.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
So he's a golfer.
He's a golfer. I thought he ran a really bad campaign. I'm like, oh, yeah, he was a bad candidate. He ran a bad campaign. Mastriano kind of ran as a Nazi. That I thought was a really bad campaign, but Walker was so much worse.
Well, I thought we had one of the worst in the country in Ohio with J.D. Vance. He won, but that means nothing in the sense of what it took them millions and millions of dollars draining from the Senate campaign, you know, committee. And for such a red state now, I thought Vance was a horrible candidate. Finally went out to the Marietta, Ohio Labor Day parade, which is like almost first public event. But then along came Walker, and he made Vance look like, I don't know,
like a statesman.
Reagan, Tip O'Neill, and Obama, you know. So, but Walker was a horrible candidate. Now, I will say this, and this will probably be scoffed at, but I thought he was a terrible, terrible candidate. Then the first debate, I'm just looking at this from a different way. He wasn't good. He held the badge up. I know all of that. But he did come off after the first debate as this guy, you know, he could, yeah, in a fist fight, you know, he might be there. He's kind of earthy, kind of street type of guy. Then after that left by the next day. He had a tiny little bump there, you know, in that debate. I just think people held their nose and held to him for the most part.
Yep, that was the response I got as we were knocking on doors and we were making phone calls and
sure.
And all of that. It wasn't, and as I said from the beginning, it wasn't about changing hearts and minds. It was just about getting enough people out to vote and to see if Senate Bill 202 did what it was supposed to do, which was block enough people from voting to be able to get over the hurdle and the hump.
Well, unfortunately, it didn't. Bush, you know, you're a grassroots guy, and that still counts for something in this system. I don't care if it's all money. The races would have went different. But, you know, as far as getting out the vote, that's it. I mean, that had to happen in Georgia, or Walker could have won.
Yep. No, there were the Labor put an awful lot of shoulder into keeping Warnock in the Senate. Because, look, at the end of the day, he's going to be a solid vote for, you know, moving legislation down the road that could be helpful to workers organizing. He voted for the bill that had the pension, the Butch Lewis Act in it, that's going to save, you know, hundreds of thousands of retirees' pensions. You know, that's, again, you know, stuff that has to be put out on the table that Walker wouldn't have.
And he also does one other thing that's inside baseball, but it's a big deal for any party strategy. When it was 50-50, even though the vice president could provide the vote, that is technically a divided Senate, and there had to be compromises when, you know, Schumer and McConnell had a private breakfast, you know, in the Senate dining room. There had to be certain compromises to constitute the Senate. It's right. The way it runs, if it's 50-50. But the 51st seat now doesn't give that power to McConnell to constitute the Senate. So the committee makeup, the structures, the funding structures, everything that's important to carry out your job is now in the favor because of one seat. So it's inside baseball, but it's a big deal to the system.
No, it was important. It was important for Democrats, which is why they put so much shoulder into getting this done. You know, because what we're hearing now is there's going to be another fight over the debt ceiling that's coming over
right.
funding stuff. And we talk about this all the time. Every time Republicans get anywhere near power, they just say, well, let's hold somebody hostage and get our pound of flesh. And I keep asking, when will we get rid of this idiotic rule?
Well, they didn't have the debt ceiling controversy through Bush's time, because I was there. As you know, I call it the yawn vote. Some people beat their chest. You yawn, you put your card in the voting machine, you voted, and you went to dinner. I mean, that's the way the debt ceiling was. Until Obama's time, then it became a national crisis.
Yeah,
I mean, before that, it wasn't.
Yeah,
it
I mean, the time to fight over spending is before you take the credit card out of your wallet.
Well, they also, you know, they are doing with the debt ceiling vote, which is even kind of ridiculous they do it, is codifying what they have already voted to spend, whether right. it was a budget, which they actually don't do, none of them do, but continued spending resolutions is what they are, and they're codifying what's already done. So if you want to protest these things, do it at the point of the budgets, not at the point of the codification of what you already spent, which is what a debt ceiling vote is.
Yeah, but again, it's a nice tool to hold the administration hostage and, right. and twist
Correct.
Some arms.
Sure,
it's crazy to me. But I'm glad Tuesday's over, and I know the people of Georgia are glad, because I've got to tell you, I would be making phone calls and they would answer it. I already voted. Leave me alone.
Let me go. Right.
Let me go. Which again, you know, I'm. Isn't there a better way of doing this?
For the runoff, first of all, I'm not a believer in these runoff systems. You know, if you win by two votes and you had eight candidates, you're the winner. But you know, they have these runoffs in certain states, and that's the first thing I've never cared for.
Yeah, I actually like the idea of instant runoff voting. I like the idea of someone getting 50% plus one, but there's got to be a way where you go, yeah, we're gonna do this more efficiently. So we don't have to go through this. And these poor people in Georgia, I mean, two Senate races in a row have gone to runoffs. Right. 2 years ago, they had two senators in runoff mode.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
You know, it just is what it is. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst. I want to also get your thoughts on the big swap today. Brittany Griner, I guess, is probably home by now. We're pretty close to it. Any thoughts on the swap?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I think on the human side of this period, everybody should be happy that she's coming home. A statement I should make before I actually said that, although I wanted to say that's the most important thing, you know, is the fact she's coming home, is, you know, people, please, don't go to Russia, don't go to Iran, don't go to Saudi Arabia and North Korea in particular,
yep.
or Afghanistan. I
yep.
mean, I don't care what your desires are or whatever. When I worked in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, they told me at the embassy, if you do something and it's minor, give us a call. If it's major and you steal, you're going to walk around with no hand. I mean, they, you know, there's certain things, whether we like it or not, that are, you know, the laws of countries. And but on top of it, Russia, you know, has Putin, so he will do anything he can do to get people, just like North Korea, and you know, if you visit Iran at this point in time. So stay out of those countries. That's the first message, I think. But as far as you know, her coming home, I think people need to be supportive of that. Now, as far as the trade, I think that Putin knew what level this rose to and what support was out there, and I believe that the White House in the initial parts of this tried to get three people out, because there's basically three main people that have been talked about, and somebody else who was there on a really vicious drug charge where they really trumped it up, you know, the Russians. But frankly, the Russians just wanted one person for one. And so I think that we could have probably held out, but who knows what the outcome of that's going to be. So the White House has to push very hard to try to get the other two back.
Yeah, there was no win in this for Biden, because you're going to get one and not the others.
Correct.
And then, you know, then the other message I keep getting is, well, you're putting this monster back out in the streets, and he's going to go back to, you know, supplying arms, and it's going to end up killing people. And I, you know, you see that as well. So there's no win in this.
No, in fact, that's the other message I would give. First of all, we want to talk about swaps. We can talk about the prisoners that Trump released, okay, from Afghanistan. So if we want to talk about deals, a lot of these are no-win deals, you know, from the White House's end of it. Trump released, how many did he release?
Yeah, it was a lot. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, it was a lot. And so, you know, that wasn't the best deal in the world. I think on this one, if I don't know, if I were advising her, get back to normal life, avoid the TV cameras, and just get back to normal life. And the White House should do the same. You know, they brought her back. Now continue to work on the other two, because, again, the media will try their best to have her make some kind of statement that is not, you know, real supportive of the country. There's going to be something the media will try.
Yeah.
And it would probably be best just to move on now with her life.
Yeah.
And try to pick up the pieces, and the White House brought her back, and that's the end of that.
Get back to basketball. And Bill emailed me, said it was in excess of 5,000.
Oh, okay. I knew it was.
I knew it was a lot.
Five. I was thinking 3 or 4, but okay.
It was in excess of 5,000, he says.
Yeah.
And wow. Finally.
That's a lopsided trade. So.
Yeah, that's no kidding.
Nobody talks about that, though.
No, because everything he did was perfect. It was all good. It was making us great again. And that's why we're okay with it, evidently. Finally, wanted to get your thought on the House sending the marriage equality bill to Biden's desk. Any thoughts?
Yes, I think that it's obviously a good thing that they did it. Of the 40-some Republicans, I've actually personally talked to one of the Republicans that had voted for the bill in the House. He got, you know, some heat on it, and he was very positive about it. And as a district that's, you know, fairly conservative, but as I told him, I said, I think you probably were part to help the Republicans save them from themselves. I mean, the polling on this and the support by people is out there. It's big. And so it passed. It passed in the Senate, and it's on its way to the president, and it's done. And therefore, the Supreme Court, because if these things are codified, which is what they're doing, the Supreme Court will have a difficult time to then undo them.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of
plus.
Of Representative Hartzler from Missouri and her?
Oh, the crying thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't laugh because it was so pathetic, but I have to, because look, even if you agree with her side of it, how she presented it as the end of the world, that she would cry and they were shutting down the United States of America on the floor of the House. It was so ridiculous that, I mean, I've watched the video twice, just once in kind of shock, and the second,
the chuckle.
I laughed.
Yeah, yeah. No, you got to laugh. That's the right response.
I had to laugh. I thought, you know, it don't go in acting, honey. Just, stay right where you're at.
There you go.
Well, she is acting, I should say. But don't go after the Oscar.
They're going to ruin the sanctity of my marriage.
No, ruin the country.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Dangerous.
Crazy times. But good stuff. Bob, I appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks,
good
Rick.
Stuff, my friend.
Thank you.
Again, these folks, they do make me laugh. And on the other side, I gotta retell the story of the first time this issue popped up. Someone made me laugh. Right back after this with that.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1993. That was the day that President Bill Clinton signed the North American Free Trade Agreement into law. The stated aim of NAFTA was to increase trade between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. It created the largest free trade zone in the world up until that time. President Clinton declared that NAFTA would promote more growth, more equality, better preservation of the environment, and a greater possibility for world peace. Many NAFTA supporters thought that the agreement would create hundreds of thousands of new high-wage U.S. jobs. They also claimed the agreement would raise living standards in the U.S., Mexico, and in Canada. Yet many in the labor movement were deeply skeptical of these claims. Labor organized against the bill, but despite the protests, Congress voted to pass the free trade agreement. In 2014, the 20th anniversary of NAFTA, the AFL-CIO released a report detailing the harmful impact of the trade agreement. It noted some alarming facts, stating, while the overall volume of trade within North America due to NAFTA has increased and corporate profits have skyrocketed, wages have remained stagnant in all three countries. It also found that productivity has increased, but workers' share of these gains has decreased steadily, along with unionization rates. Current data clearly shows the damage caused by NAFTA. Nevertheless, President Obama and many in Congress have pushed for the passage of a similar trade agreement, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This agreement would simply expand the negative impacts of NAFTA. The TPP would lead to even lower wages and continued job loss. This agreement expands special protections for firms that send U.S. jobs out of the country. It is another in a long list of trade deals that have and will continue to hurt working people. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick at thericksmithshow.com. So real quick, I got to, you know, the whole same-sex marriage thing. The first time it came up, and this is back, you know, 90s, you know, just fresh on the scene. This is one of those moments I will never forget. And I've told the story a couple of times, but it bears repeating, especially with the crying woman. I got to try to catch me. It just, if you haven't seen it, you got to look it up. Representative Hartzler out of Missouri is her name. But, you know, there was, I was on the road at the time, you know, driving, you know, in a convoy going up north, and there's like 10 of us, and we all stopped for lunch, and it came on TV that, you know, same-sex marriage was now something that was being discussed. And one of the guys in the group, you know, was emphatic. He was going to ruin the sanctity of his marriage. I remember it like it was yesterday. And he was going on and on and on, and just for like the whole lunchtime, we were sitting there, and, you know, everyone's, you know, just kind of, you know, ignoring him, but he's angry about it. And finally, you know, before the check comes, I go, so I'm just curious. These people appear that they're talking about that you don't know them, you don't know where they live, you don't have anything to do with them. They're going to ruin the sanctity of your marriage. They've got anything to do with you? And he's like, that's right, they're ruining the institution of marriage. And I go, but hold on. You've got the girlfriend and the kid in Massachusetts that your wife and kids back in Pennsylvania don't know about. Is that not ruining the sanctity of your marriage? I mean, I think I would focus on that first. Just spitballing here. I think I would focus on that little detail. Because I know when we go to the hotel, your girlfriend's waiting for you to take you back to the house that you pay for there for, you know, with her and her child, your child. And look, you know, if you get along with that, that's your business. I don't care. It's not ruining the sanctity of my marriage. I'm not the one with the kid and the mistress in another state. But I think that's where you maybe might want to focus first. And there was just kind of a collective. Everyone looked at him going, yeah, that's probably right. You should probably be more concerned about that. Not that they were siding with same-sex marriage, but nobody was as opposed to it as the guy who was literally, you know, involved in a situation that could be misconstrued as a complete end of any marriage. I'm sure if my wife found that I had a girlfriend and a kid in another state that she didn't know, I think that'd be kind of the end of it. I got to think that would be the end of it. I think that would be the end of it for a lot of people. I know I would be very, I think I'd be a little. So there is that. So it's interesting. And this is where my mind goes. And this is where I want to leave you today. I think we got to stop worrying about everybody else. You know, my grandfather always said, don't worry about me, worry about yourself. And we got to get back to that. Too much worrying about what other people are doing.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcast.